Last week, Jeff spoke about Hannah's prayer and how Samuel set the stage for David. Today, we're going to kick off about David. This series is primarily from the book of 1 Samuel and focuses on the person of David before he was king. David clearly plays a central role in the Bible. According to Strong's Concordance, in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament, a form of the word David appears 1,075 times. In the New Testament, the Greek form of David occurs 59 times. To the best of our knowledge, all of these refer to the same person. Aside from the actual text of the Bible, David has been hugely influential in the world. I, just like millions of people all around the world, am named David. There are probably few stories as recognizable as David versus Goliath. After John 3:16 and Genesis 1:1, probably the most well-known words in the Bible are the 23rd Psalms, which starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This psalm is attributed to David. For people more familiar with the Bible, there's a recognition of David as Jesus' ancestor, as a great king of Israel, and as the author of many of the most famous psalms, even beyond the 23rd. So before we dive into this hugely influential person, let's take a chance to discuss these two questions. Question one, what do you think of when you think of David? List some things out. If you have a chance, have someone write them down. Question two, what comes to mind when you think of a superhero? Right now, go ahead and pause this video and discuss with people around you the answers to these questions. Now that you have answers to these questions, let's talk about superheroes a little bit. Superheroes have come to play a greater and greater role in our modern thinking. Thanks to the rise in superhero movies in the last 20 years, 40% of the top 25 all-time highest-grossing movies are superhero movies. As humans, we tend to think about unfamiliar things in a more familiar context. We are fairly unaware of the conditions of the Middle East over 3,000 years ago, but from movies and cultural contexts, we have a fair idea of what superheroes do and act like. So, is it fair to see David as a superhero? Some people certainly think of David as a superhero. A quick search of YouTube reveals multiple sermons entitled, "David, a Superhero." It is certainly easy to see how you could think of David as a superhero. He has many of the attributes of a superhero. He does things that no one else was willing to do, like kill Goliath, and does it while throwing out bold lines, just as a superhero might in a movie. Could any movie really make a more dramatic scene than happened in Samuel 17 when David fights Goliath? Goliath is not only physically huge, he is wearing a coat of bronze armor weighing 55 kilograms. He has a spear that is made of iron and its head weighs 6.5 kilograms. This is at a time when the Israelites did not even know how to forge iron. David, seemingly without armor or weapons, calmly walks up to this giant and calls on the name of God. If we look at some of these famous paintings, we can see the very image of David as a superhero. While David is clearly smaller than Saul, than Goliath in these paintings, he still comes out as a robust and muscular and active man, very much looking the parts of the superhero, an effect that is even greater expanded by the size of these paintings. This particular painting in the slide is over 4.5 feet tall, and the image is of David triumphant with his foot on Saul's head. And David's victory over Goliath is not his only great deed. David's whole life was a series of impressive deeds. He performs bold feats as a warrior, and when instructed to kill 100 Philistines, he goes out and kills 200 Philistines and brings the evidence back to King Saul. He saves the innocent and comes when people ask him for help. He seems to also have a superhero character arc, going up in a triumphant, only to have the government, as signified by King Saul, turn against him, and ultimately he emerges victorious with the help of common people. You can almost see the movie right now of King David, the superhero, coming up from the bottom and getting to the top. Despite David's commonality with superheroes, I think it's fair to say that the Bible does not really portray David as a superhero. If anybody really shows up in the Bible as a superhero, it's Jonathan. It's Jonathan who sneaks out with one companion to challenge the entire Philistine army by scaling a cliff and killing 20 people with a single blow. This seems more in the line with superhero and is one of the very few stories that we learn about Jonathan. However, David receives a much fuller description, but the focus of this description is how he interacts with other people and their reactions. Not only is this a departure from our modern superhero mythic, but is actually quite different from your run-of-the-mill chronicle of the life of an ancient king, which tended to focus on their victories and city buildings. In this picture, you see the statue of King Idumea, which is currently housed in the British Museum. King Idumea had his own story inscribed on this statue. The statue is thought to date from about 1500 BC, or likely a few hundred years before King David. While there's not an exact date for King David's reign, it is most commonly dated to around 1000 BC. Idumea is considered to have some parallels with King David. He was also not the oldest son, and he fled from his native land. However, his story sounds very different. In his story, when he arrives at a faraway land, he is instantly hailed as a lord, and he returns to his own land in triumph, where due to his majesty, all bow down to him in fear. David's narrative in the Bible has none of this. Instead, David makes many mistakes. He spends time with a sworn enemy of his people. His life is a series of victories and setbacks. In other words, David is much more like us and less like a fictionalized, perfect, or idealized king. In David's life, there are many other incidents that really don't seem all that kingly. David causes the slaughter of all of the priests and admits that it was his own mistake that led to it. He lets his own family get captured, and then later he threatens to slaughter all the family members of a shepherd just because he's offended. Well, in this series, we are going to stop before David becomes king. Once he is king, the pattern is continued. Many of the incidents recorded in the Bible are not at all flattering to David. So why is this? The reason I think is that 1 Samuel is not the chronicle of David that just happened to be included in the Bible, but rather it was specifically intended by God to tell his story of faithfulness and what makes someone a man after God's own heart. And what we see is that what makes a person a man after God's own heart is not who can do the most noble deed, but rather someone who truly has a heart for God. And in David's case, the heart is illustrated in his relationships. In David's relationships, we see some key themes returning again and again. The first is that David has an understanding that God's promises work according to God's timeline. From a very young age, David learns that he is destined to be king. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Samuel chapter 16 and look at the story of David's anointing. David is the eighth son of a man who keeps sheep in the countryside. His family, though they may be comparatively well off, do not seem to have particular political connections. And later, we see that David's brothers appear to fight as common soldiers. Even their identity as Israelites may have been doubtful to some, as David's great-grandmother was Ruth, the Moabitess. When Samuel, the famous prophet, comes to visit and specifically asks to see David's father's son, David was not even called in from tending the sheep. This has a tendency to set up a narrative of David as a proof that anybody can do anything. As this seemingly unimportant boy grows to become king of Israel. This is sometimes grown into David as a self-esteem story, as shown in the VeggieTales Dave and the Giant Pickle. Let's watch a short clip right now. The plot, as portrayed in this video, is straight out of a superhero movie. Indeed, it's almost the plot of Captain America, where the small but good-hearted boy becomes the swashbuckling Captain America. But this is not really David's story. While he did have an unimportant place in the family, there's no evidence that he was small or weak. Indeed, the Bible describes him as handsome, and later describes, seemingly before his encounter with Goliath, as a man of war and valor. So he was a strong man. It is unlikely that he was quite as physically notable as shown in the earlier painting, but yet he still was clearly not a small child. What this shows is that what is important is not David's size, whether he was the smallest or the largest, but rather that God was looking at David's heart. David did not kill Goliath because he believed he could. David killed Goliath because he was God's anointed king over Israel, and he trusted in God that God would preserve the kingdom of Israel from the Philistines. And it was David's heart for God that appears to let him follow God's plan. Knowing that he is destined to be king, we will see numerous times in David's story where he could have chosen to grab the initiative to take Saul's place on the throne or cut off Jonathan as a potential rival. But David always chooses out of these situations, and even when he is driven out of Israel entirely, he does not appear to fall into despair. David's understanding of God's timeline sets up one of the most important themes of his story, and that is the tearing down of the proud and the building up of the humble. In the first parts of David's story, three characters come off as notably proud: Saul, Goliath, and Nabal. And three characters come off as humble: David, Jonathan, and Abigail. While the three proud characters all do meet their doom, one of the humble characters, Jonathan, also falls to an untimely death. In the coming weeks, we will look at each of these characters in more depth. But for now, I think it's sufficient to just look at David and think of the things your group listed out. Aren't these things that would seem to make people proud? David killed Goliath, rescued people, was cheered by all, but he did not let this build into a movement to seize the kingship before God's timing. I would argue, though I can't prove it precisely, it was because David was able to trust in God that he was able to stay humble even when he experienced great success. But how was David able to continue to trust in God, and why is it so hard for us? I think two things come out of David's story. One, we know from the Psalms that David wrote that he spent time reflecting on God's word and worshiping God. Secondly, we'll see in numerous of David's actions that he was not afraid to acknowledge his mistake and the tragic consequences of his mistake. Along with acknowledging his mistakes, he repents and turns toward God. This is an explicit contrast with Saul and the action he took that caused the kingdom to pass away from the family of Saul. Let's take a look at Samuel 13, verses 12 to 13. I said, "Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with whom he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be a prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" Saul is waiting for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice, but Samuel is delayed. So Saul takes it upon himself to play a role that's not his to play and offer the sacrifice. When he's challenged on it, there's no repentance or change of heart, and the kingdom is stripped away from Saul, even though the Israelites, led by Jonathan, will defeat the Philistines in this encounter. Later on in Samuel 15, Saul is willing to admit that he sinned, but his primary concern is how he looks in the view of the people, not in his relationship with God. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at a series of David's relationships and how they illustrate a life lived before God and not just a slashing and burning superhero. Here is the schedule for the upcoming series. We will look at David and Goliath, David as a servant of Saul, David's relationship with God, David as the enemy of Saul as Saul pursues him throughout Israel and Philistia, David and Jonathan, David and his wives, David and his men, David and the Philistines will be the final lesson. So before we close out the sermon, let's take some time to have a final discussion. Look at the following two questions. Why do we find it hard to trust in God's plan sometimes? Are there promises of God that feel like they are a long time in coming? Go ahead and stop your video and discuss or write down the answers to these questions. As we close out our time today, I just want to take a minute to return to why David plays such an important role in the Bible. Despite David's sinfulness, he's recognized as a man after God's own heart who was worthy to be an ancestor of Jesus. The importance of David was not his proficiency as a warrior, or even that Israel reached its height under his reign, which it didn't, rather reaching its height under the reign of his son Solomon. But the most important thing was David's heart and his willingness to trust in God and repent and return to God. Today, I think that many people struggle with this idea. They want to trust in God and believe in his promises, but they just feel they don't have the faith or the belief, which we will continue to look at these. While we will continue to look at these promises in the upcoming weeks, don't feel like you have to wait. Feel free to get in touch with one of the elders, either by email or text or any other way. We would be happy to talk and pray with you today. Let's take some time to pray right now. Dear God, we just thank you for your word and the example that you've given us in Samuel. Father, we just pray that we may be humble and walk before you and have hearts after you, as David did. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.